Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Hannah George and I'm a screenwriter. I'm joined by author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where absinthe meets arson, Negroni meets necrophilia, and Grand Marnier meets Grand Theft Auto. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Well, so-and-so was very sweary about their near-death experience.
I was a bit concerned we were doing a story that wasn't a crime, but we got that. So, any
he got his period.
He got his period.
I said love and it was a guess. I had a dick of Venetian glass.
Yeah.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello and welcome to another lockdown edition of Drunk Women Solving Crime. Today we are joined by journalist and broadcaster you will know from How Clean Is Your House and Storage Hoarders, it's Aggie McKenzie.
Hello!
Yay! Aggie, we only ask one question on this podcast, and that is, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Actually, I have. It was a long, long time ago. So I was about 13 and my sister was 15. And we were at home alone. My parents had gone on holiday with the younger sister. And it was in the summer holidays. And basically, so my older sister, she had a date. And we lived a mile from the village. So I was going to walk her into the village so she could meet her date. On the way into the village, this sports car, very flash sports car, pulled up, and the driver said, "Would you like a lift, girl?" And I said,
"Oh no!"
I said, "Yeah, I'm getting into that flash car." My sister's going, "Ag, no, we're fine." I went, "Come on!" It's a really nice car. She went, "Oh, right then." So I shoved her into the back. She was all squashed up, and I was sitting in the front like Lady Mark.
And then
the driver, you know, he got really fast, and he got faster and faster and faster. And at the end of the road, this kind of, you know, T junction. I thought, when's he going to slow down? He should be slowing down right now.
God.
And Christine in the back is going, slow down. And he didn't slow down. And he just went straight into the bank ahead, and she was unconscious in the back. And I was like, oh my God, he had legged it, the driver. And then the next thing, the police were there and the ambulance was there. And when I'm nervous, I get the giggles. So I was giggling stupidly. My sister was unconscious. The police were going, what's going on? And the ambulance driver and his wife were there. Now, because it was a very small community, I knew the ambulance driver and his wife. And my sister, she came round and because she was concussed, she was a bit kind of delirious and she was going, huh, what's going on? What's going on? And I told her and she went, fucking bastard, she said. And I was so mortified that she was swearing in front of the ambulance driver and his wife, who were like, you know, church-going citizens. I was, oh my God, Chrissy, please don't swear. That was the worst thing about it, that she was swearing in front of these.
And that's the power of the church.
I know. Anyway. So, of course, the parents had to come back from holiday. Chrissy was in hospital. She was actually okay. But what happened was that we didn't know this, but the driver of the car, it wasn't his car at all. He'd borrowed it without permission. He was already on his driving ban, and you know what? He got 6 months in jail for what he did.
Wow, yeah. Well, I would have given him more, to be honest. That's insane.
It's lucky it was only 6 months. I mean, that sounds like...
I know. And my sister now...
That's like attempted manslaughter, really, isn't it? Like,
we weren't called as witnesses, but we were kind of a bit frightened that he was going to... When he got out of jail, he'd come looking for us and do something, but he did nothing happen.
So, Aggie, do you have trouble getting into strangers' cars? Now, has that affected your ability to hitchhike?
Actually, in some way? It's amazing, isn't it? In those days, back in the 70s, everyone hitchhiked. We used to hitchhike home from college and get into strangers' cars. And I mean, thank God nothing happened apart from
it was the norm, right? It's just what you did.
It was, that's right. Yeah. Nowadays, no, not so much. Not so much. But I'm not invited into strangers' cars anymore. Sadly.
Well, you know, it's a phase of life. I love that your sister's comment, like she's coming out from a coma. Yeah. I had a date. Yeah,
exactly. Bastard.
Must have been a hell of a date.
I'm stuck on this, like, paramedic and his wife.
Yeah.
Like, I love the family business being like an ambulance.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, I know. And because so I was at school with the son of the paramedic, the ambulance driver and his wife. So I knew them and I was like so embarrassed that she was swearing. It was like the worst thing.
But were they not like, hey, you've had a massive accident. Go nuts. Say every word. It's fine.
Yes. Well, it had to be. It totally had to be.
There are real pros and cons to a small community, because sometimes as a Londoner, I miss a small community, but having to worry about your manners when you're on the brink of death, that's one of the downsides of a small community.
Exactly.
It's just a whole lot of, wow, everybody's watching everything.
Exactly. And it will be reported and shared amongst the community, and judgment will be made. Totally.
Well, so-and-so was very sweary about their near-death experience.
Exactly.
What kind of car was it? I know that's not important, but do you remember what it was?
Something like a MGB Roadster. Very chic in the 70s. Actually, no, this was the
60s. Any of us would have gotten in that.
Of course we would have done. And the top was down, for God's sake. I mean.
Oh.
Yeah.
Come on.
Is that how he broke in? He just like literally went and sat in it. Like, I've always thought about that open top cars.
How did he get the keys? Anyway, yeah, he didn't have permission to drive.
Well, we say to everyone that comes on the podcast, if you had the person who committed the crime against you, so this guy with you now, like in front of you, what would you say to him now? Like if he was there?
I'd say, you lily-livered so-and-so, jumping out the car and pissing off. What about those two girls that were left in the car? Didn't think about them, did you? No, just thought about himself. Totally selfish. So I would have given him a bit about that. Anyway, he knew that he was going to get into trouble. Yeah, what was he thinking of not slowing down? I don't know. Anyway. Too late was the word.
Yeah. Do you think he was intoxicated at all? Or was
I can't remember, actually. Quite possibly. Maybe that's why he took the car.
Yeah. We're putting together a profile, and this guy, Doesn't seem like a cool dude. Mm.
It sounds like there were not enough extracurricular activities in the village. Maybe he was just...
You can't like blame this on a lack of a youth club, Taylor. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, because actually, this was Abbey Moor. There was so much going on. Abbey Moor, in its heyday, it was like absolutely heaving with young guys. Because it was like a sort of... In the wintertime, it was a ski resort. And in the summer, everyone hung out.
Oh.
So in the 60s, when I was, there were such a thing as the 60s girls.
you were like 2 years old.
Your parents will remember them. And anyway, so what happened was everyone, all these boys used to pile into Abbey Moor at the weekends. Oh, my God. It was amazing. And there were so many more boys than girls. It didn't matter how fat or spotty you were as a girl, you could always get a lumber because there were so many blokes. And it was just like fantastic. It was just brilliant. Awesome. And I was one of those fat and spotty girls. So it was like, yeah, you could get off of someone who's really handsome. It's like, great.
Oh my gosh, you're like the Scottish Aspen. This is amazing.
It was.
I love this.
Absolutely.
But like crossed with the free love and like Woodstock.
I know it was.
Yeah, 60s version.
Do you want to hear another story about Abbey Moor? So,
yes, please.
So one that you see, you're all too young to remember a DJ called Stuart Henry. Anyway, he came to Abbey Moor one night. It was in the summer holidays and there was a disco. And everyone was going to the disco. And my mum drove my sisters and I down to the disco. And we went to the disco. And I was in a very conservative dress. So it was one of those shirt dresses with a chain belt. And during the course of the disco, Stuart Henry decided that he was going to conduct a miniskirt competition. Now, there's a girl in my class. Yeah, no, this is the 60s, remember. Girl in my class called Jean Alexander, who had the longest legs. And I thought, Jean Alexander's going to win this competition. No, she's not. So I got the shirt dress and I hiked it over the chain belt.
No.
And I just covered my arse.
No, you didn't.
I did. And then so we were all lined up and Stuart Henry had this measuring tape. And guess what? I won the competition.
Yes, you did.
I did.
Wait, are we supposed to cheer this or not?
Yes, because at this point, this was a revolution.
It was.
Yes.
I was absolutely thrilled. Now, my prize for winning the competition was a P.P. Arnold LP. You probably haven't heard about P.P. Arnold or even LPs. But
I know what an LP is.
I had a Chesney Hawkes LP. I'm in the club.
Anyway,
I'm very young. So
Hannah's super young. The rest of us use CGI.
Yeah. So, wow. Well,
came out of the disco, went down the hill, and our mum was there waiting in the car to pick us up. And I had this LP in my hand. Of course, the skirt by then was down to the knees again. You pulled it back down. And she said, what's that LP from? I said, I won a competition. What competition was that? Oh, miniskirt. Your skirt's not that short. No, ma'am, it's not. And the next day, it was page 3 in the Daily Record. This picture of me with my skirt up to my arse. Oh my God, I got absolute hell from my mother. What on earth will your granny say about this? You shameless happy.
She loves the Daily Record. You've ruined it for her.
Wait, is this how page 3 got started? It was like women rigging the mini skirt competition and then it turned into boobs eventually?
Possibly.
Is this the origin story?
The funny thing was at the time, I think I was 13, but I think reporter thought, I can't put the fact that she's 13. I think he put my age down as maybe 14 or 15, but he put me down as older than I actually was.
Wow.
Like 14 is better than 13.
I was you were 13?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, everyone used to go. I know.
I was a bit concerned we were doing a story that wasn't a crime, but we got there. So.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
So today we're talking about a Venetian spy who toured Europe and partook in brawls, seductions, and violent practical jokes. Ooh, which are the best kind, I guess. He associated with royalty, cardinals, and big names such as Voltaire and Mozart. So, whoa. First question, anybody got any idea who this guy is? You will definitely have heard of him.
Oh, okay. I'm going to be wrong, but I'm going to say the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Okay. Is he not fictional?
No, he's real. He was in Botanica, you guys. Come on.
We've got the Scarlet Pimpernel for Katie. Taylor?
We've all heard of this Venetian scoundrel.
Yeah.
Puccini. I have no idea.
Aggie?
Did you say Porcini? I'll say Porcini as well. No, I've got absolutely no...
No, I said Puccini, but Porcini's even better. The mushrooms.
I've got absolutely no idea. I'm sorry.
Aggie, just before we go on as well, like I saw on your Wikipedia page, it said that you were once worked for MI6.
Yeah, I did, actually. I'm not proud of it, but I did. I know.
Did you?
I know. When I first came to London in the 70s, that was my first job working for MI6.
What?
Wow, how amazing. Did
they see the pictures in the Daily Record and they just thought, let's get that gal.
Must have. I don't know how I ever got the job because I'm so kind of not in that league and not suited at all. They couldn't have done the research very well, even though they did send people up to North of Scotland to interview the manager of this shop that I worked at the weekends and the headmistress and all the rest of it. I got the job. I did stay there for about 2 years, yeah.
It sounds like they did loads of research and you were perfect for the job.
Wasn't. I totally wasn't. And it's not that I'm indiscreet or anything like that. But no, I know. And it was interesting. But I decided that actually I didn't want to ever go and work in an embassy. Or be a spy. It's not me.
Do you know what? I think it takes a very specific type of person. And this guy that we're talking about is not known for being a spy because this, we're talking about Casanova.
Oh my God.
The actual Casanova.
So
the guy that everyone's referencing when they go, what a Casanova.
Yeah, the minute that your husband or boyfriend does anything slightly romantic and you go, oh, Casanova, that guy.
I'm not sure I knew he was not fictional until this moment in time.
Awesome.
Yeah, he was a real guy, and we know quite a lot about him because he wrote an autobiography. And
of
the autobiography, yeah, but it mostly just details his romantic liaisons with powerful women rather than his spying or when he escaped jail or any of these other crazy things he did.
Huh.
But does anyone want to hazard a guess at what his autobiography was called?
I'm a Casanova.
It was called You'll Reference Me.
Yeah, your boyfriend wishes.
Casanova, the lover.
Ooh, yeah, like.
But in Italian, so the lover.
The bad news is it's very boring. It was called Story of My Life. I mean, come on. That's
One
Direction
song. It sounds like a 90s.
That doesn't imply porn at all.
But if we start at the story of his life at the beginning, Giacomo Casanova was born in Venice in 1725. And as a child, Casanova's parents were actors and would be away touring. And until he went to boarding school, Casanova was brought up mostly by his gran. He'd suffer quite badly with nosebleeds, so his grandma sought help. Who do you think she sought help from for nosebleeds in the 18th century?
The priest.
The pope?
The priest, yeah, priest, pope, take your pick.
It's not a priest or a pope.
Ooh, a witch.
Do you know what, Katie, you're spot on. It was a witch.
OMG. Wow.
And Casanova said, in his own words, leaving the gondola, we enter a hovel where we find an old woman sitting on a pallet with a black cat in her arms and five or six others around her.
Mm.
How you imagine a witch, isn't it? But because he wrote everything down and he had this autobiography, we know that this is what happened.
We know this is what he said happened.
This is the thing. This is like history
being... But this wasn't a cliche yet. I feel like this is great. Cats, a witch, this is awesome.
So the spell didn't work because it's witchcraft. But Casanova was fascinated by the incantation and this started a lifelong fascination with the occult. So he was into that. But he was also an intelligent guy, and he entered the University of Padua at quite a young age. How old do you think he was when he entered university? Clue, he was younger than Aggie when she won a miniskirt
14.
Competition.
Oh, younger. God. I was like 14.
No, would have been 11.
Be 12. You can't be that much younger.
11,
11 12, I guess.
11. He was 12.
That's what I said, right?
Yeah, Katie's right.
Yes, Katie, you're right.
She is a thirsty bitch, isn't she? Yes. But, yes, so that meant he graduated age 17 with a degree in law. And you just think, that's not the guy you want representing you, is it?
No, not really. Doogie Casanova, not so much.
He'd be quite bright, wouldn't he?
Yeah, to get a law degree at 17. Yeah. But interestingly, he didn't want to be a lawyer. He actually wanted to do something else. But it wasn't law at this point. What do you think he actually wanted to do?
Screw drag women.
Women.
Yes, exactly.
Invent porn.
Invent porn. Well, he wanted to become a doctor, and he frequently prescribed
like
his own
I said,
treatments.
Screw women.
Yeah. He frequently prescribed his own treatments for himself and his friends, which...
Right.
That's a bit much, isn't it?
Especially if he's into the occult, that worries me.
Just, yeah.
What he's prescribing.
So Casanova was one of these guys that we've talked about a few times in the podcast, who basically had a crack at every single career. So in his lifetime, he was not limited to a lawyer, a clergyman, military officer, violinist, con man, pimp, dancer, businessman, diplomat, spy, politician, medic, mathematician, social philosopher, playwright, and writer.
No, that's too many. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
God, sounds like a blinking psychopath as well.
Yes. Do you know what? Thank you, Aggie. I was thinking psychopath.
Well, on that
I'm trying
note,
to see which of the... I'm trying to think, like, which of those jobs would you be the worst at if you claimed you had done all the other ones? It's it's hard to say.
Well, probably a
therapist.
Clarity.
Was he a therapist?
Yeah. He needed one.
Yes, yes, he did. Drunk women solving crime.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
But talking of him being a bit of a psychopath, we can go back to those violent practical jokes I mentioned at the beginning. So he became a violinist, and this was quite a lowly job for him. So he sort of did the practical jokes, I guess, to just distract himself. And he and his fellow musicians, and this is quotes now, often spent our nights roaming through different quarters of the city, thinking up the most scandalous practical jokes and putting them into execution. What sort of thing do you think 18th century Venetian scallywags got up to?
Oh, so are they preying on the impoverished? Is that what you're saying?
No, they're not. Not impoverished people.
Well, probably throwing people tourists into the canal. I don't know.
Oh, yes.
There is some canal stuff going on.
Yeah, there's
on
a lot of water fun to be had.
Yeah, and then I was going to veer off on all the stereotypes. Like, they put a mask on them and they eat gelato.
Well,
and then they go in the canal.
They push them in the canal, or they say, hey, there were some dolphins here a minute ago.
The promise of dolphins. Well, apparently they would untie gondolas, which would just drift away.
Oh.
I mean, that's an expensive crime for the people that own the gondolas.
That's pretty good, though, isn't it? That's pretty good. I feel like I would do that. That's pretty good. You just drift off. I mean, you can go save them, but they drift off. It's fun. It's a harmless...
Do you think that's like the cow tipping of Venice?
A little bit, yeah.
This is weird. They'd send doctors and midwives on false house calls.
Oh my god, that's like a fake pizza delivery. I mean, but
where's
worse.
The joy?
Like baby
in that.
Delivery.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no joy
She's
in
having
that
a baby.
One.
Aha. No babies.
And then you like sit around the corner and watch them show up at the house. That's oh boy. People are bored.
Yes.
Like, and if you've got the brains to become a lawyer at 17, how is that still amusing to you? Aren't you like above that?
Yeah. Aggie, imagine if this guy had had a sports car. I'm just going to throw it out there.
The 17th century.
A sports gondola. They're all
everyone,
open top.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every I'd have been in, one yeah. would have been getting in.
Yeah, totally. Although on my back.
I suppose the thing with the gondola is like, if you keep going in a gondola, you just go out to sea eventually, rather than go into a hedge or anything. Which would be quite dangerous. But the most ridiculous thing that he did, at one point, he dug up a freshly buried corpse to play a practical joke on an enemy. And the victim was so frightened that he went into paralysis, never to recover.
Hilarious.
Yay.
That's great.
This,
good one.
It's taking a dark turn.
So a bit of a psychopath, we think.
Definitely.
Hijinks.
So he was quite lucky because what he did is he was not happy as a musician, but he had a stroke of luck when he saved the life of a member of a really wealthy family.
Oh,
so that
God, he also probably tried to kill them first, right? I mean, he's a psychopath.
Right, he totally set this up.
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
I mean, yeah, it did happen that the guy was in the same gondola as him, so I don't know what that means, but...
We shared a gondola.
It was so... like... Yeah, have some peanuts. Oh my god, I saved your life. Whatever.
Well, this is what he used some of his medical knowledge to save his
pool.
Life.
Sorry.
But yeah, so because he was so young and he managed to save this guy's life, and he didn't have a medical degree, rather than being like, oh, you were just trying your luck, they concluded that he must be in possession of occult knowledge. So,
oh my god.
Do you think Casanova went with that?
Hmm.
Yeah. Like, I mean, no one cares that his friend has died of paralysis at this point. They're all like, yay, he knew a cat once. He saved a guy's life. I guess he's a witch, but we like a good male witch. So we're all on board. I mean, I can't work it out.
Aggie, any thoughts on...
None whatsoever.
So basically, yeah, so he basically, Casanova through his life would have like patrons. So he'd have these rich people who he'd convince them to give him money so he could basically live this life of Riley because he's so charismatic and so kind of...
Charming in a sociopathic kind of way.
Yeah.
They're all charming, the psychopaths.
Well, this is the thing.
Exactly.
Good con men are good con men.
Mm-hmm.
We've all met one of those, haven't we?
Yes.
Yeah,
and some bad ones.
Well, they're all bad. It's con men. Naughty boys.
So, were the men who would descend into your village, do you think any of them had this sort of profile?
I'm sure many
because
did.
Because as much as you would... Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, was a blib.
You know,
I was only, you know, 12, 13. What did I know?
God. You knew enough to win a miniskirt competition.
I know. Hilarious.
And land a job with MI6. I feel like we just glossed over that. We're like, sure. She had a high level clearance from the government because she hoiked up her dress. Let's move on. That sounds fine.
So Casanova kind of went with this idea that he was this sort of occultist and he also claimed to be an alchemist. So just to give you a ballpark of the kind of things he was saying, he claimed to be 300 years old at one point. Which is interesting. What other things do you think that he would do?
Didn't do a lot of shagging.
He did, he did.
We know him for shagging, so, like, if he's not shagging, what the fuck is he doing?
I know, God. He packed a lot in, didn't he?
I mean, I imagine if he's an alchemist, he's claiming he can turn shit into gold, because that's my knowledge of alchemy.
Yeah.
If he's treating people.
We don't get taught properly.
So if he's treating people, I guess you've got this vulnerable population of sexy ladies.
Oh, but actually, and he's only everyone's a man. Super sick, aren't they? Everyone's got smallpox and the plague and stuff. So everyone's super vulnerable and dying of syphilis and smallpox.
Except for him.
Well, actually, how is he surviving with his penis, with his gold penis?
Yes.
Ooh, the original Venetian glass was his dick. That's great.
So he
very duped, pretty.
One noblewoman by saying that he could turn her into a young man. That was something he claimed to be able to do. He also
okay. Wait, did he do it? What's the story there?
No, it didn't happen.
He said he could do it, and then what happened?
I know he just didn't do it, and then had to leave town.
And no one minded. Oh no, he left in a cloud of shame.
I think so, yeah, yeah. He just travels to all of these different countries the whole time.
Oh, what, and lied and then left?
Yeah. And so he said he could create diamonds from scratch. That's another thing.
What? He did? I mean, like basically, it's a bullshitter, really.
Yeah. Did he do a shit version of any of it, or he just lied and then left before anyone could...
Well, that's what's interesting. One of his patrons... sort of didn't believe what Casanova was doing, but saw an opportunity in Casanova's skills because he could tell everything with a straight face. He could just keep a straight face. So you're right, he's just a bullshitter. That's completely what his whole thing was. But he gets arrested and he's sent to jail for 5 years. But he's miserable because he shouldn't be in prison. So he tries to escape. How do you think he escapes prison? How do you think Casanova escapes prison?
With lube. Like, it just feels like he'd lube his way out.
Yeah. Yeah. He bribes one of the warders.
Okay.
Or seduces one of them. I feel like he'd be... Apparently, he's so charming, he would seduce his way out of prison.
I think he sets up, like, a wedding that he has to go to, and then he hides in a flower arrangement and escapes. Like a furlough kind of thing.
Oh, very clever. But no, what he does is quite classic. Is he's walking the prison grounds and he finds a piece of black marble and an iron bar. And basically he spent weeks sharpening the bar and he used it to try and gouge through the wooden floor underneath his bed. But 3 days before he intended to escape, something happened. What do you think happened?
Was there fire?
Oh, no. Good guess.
They changed the poster of the pinup girl.
That's a good answer.
Raquel Welsh.
It was worth telling me that, right?
Aggie, any
he got his period.
He got his period.
Oh, it comes at the worst time when you're trying to escape.
What happened is that he was moved to a different cell, a cell with a nicer view.
Oh, that's a
why?
Good fucker.
Wait, I'm American, but I think that's irony.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Woo!
It's not good. However, so he got moved out of that cell and that plan was completely scuppered.
Wow.
So opposite him in his new cell was Father Balbi, who was a renegade priest.
What's a renegade priest? A paedophile? I need some clarification for a renegade.
Do you know what? I don't know exactly what this guy did.
Birth control, Katie.
Like,
Birth control.
He's got a leather jacket. Like,
So Casanova still had the spike, which was carried to his new cell inside the armchair that he had in his prison cell, which I thought was
ooh,
quite
he has an armchair.
What prison is he in? Everyone's dying of smallpox and he's got an armchair in prison that they have to bring with him.
I know. So basically he's got this spike and he needs to get it to the renegade priest. So how do you think he gets the spike from his cell to the priest's cell?
He has a better view, but maybe there's also a better trajectory. So this is his moment. He's like, I've done 20 jobs, but now I'm going to be a javelin Olympiad. And he throws the spike and he knows geometry because he used to do geometry. And it goes right into the window.
Okay. Any advance
That's
on...
just what I was thinking. Exactly.
How could you
same.
Advance on that?
Nope. Exactly.
Okay.
Perfect.
I've got loads of ideas. Number one, he pretends to lend him a tampon, but like, you know, like up a sleeve. So he like, they shake hands and then he like gets the tampon, you know, like at school. Or like number two, he just like throws it. Number three, they distract the guards. Number four, he pretends to fight the priest.
Katie's
Oh, maybe suggestions. You get priest visits. Yeah, and he hands it on the visit.
Okay, that's way better.
But with the tampon handshake, so it's like it's a collaborative effort, Katie, to solve crime.
That is a really good idea. But what it is, and it seems so obvious, is that he hid it inside a Bible. So he cut out the middle of the Bible.
It is Shawshank. It's all Shawshank.
That is
this where they got it? Yeah, because they cut out, you know, the little pickaxe.
He keeps it in his book, doesn't he?
The killer is. He doesn't really read the Bible. He's not a man of God. I'll tell you right now, it's a big twist.
Yeah, so basically he escapes. He escapes and so does the priest. So basically he goes away, Casanova goes away, and he does all sorts of stuff. This is when the spying happens because he needs to make money. So he spies for the French.
Well, there's wars on and everything, isn't there?
Everything. Yeah, so he makes a little bit of money.
There's Napoleonic wars, I'm assuming. There's like Spain and stuff.
He spies for the French.
Yeah, everybody wants
How
to.
How come?
Wait, he's born in 1725, you said.
Mm-hmm.
So it's now 1745-ish?
Yeah, roughly.
So yeah, there's like Napoleonic Wars, there's like Spain, everyone's trying to be like, I want my king in Sardinia, you can't have him in Sardinia, but you can have Sicily, there's all like this stuff going on.
It's the best of times. It's the worst of times. It's complicated.
It's a good time to be a spy.
You know what? It's like the Count of Monte Cristo. There's a prison break and they use the old guy in the prison cell next to him. But I don't think it was... I think that guy just died and then they swap bodies. Anyway, so
I continue. Also, I only know that book because of Shawshank Redemption, which is where I get most of my cultural
references. I was going to say, this is all we know about prisons is from Shawshank.
It's how I learned about opera. It's how I learned about literature.
It's how I learned about prison reform.
Aggie's glass looks enormous.
It is.
Are you just...
It is. Do you know what? Holds a bit of paint. It's fucking massive.
And
you know what? Even if you fill it a third full, you're still drinking about half a bottle of wine. It's great. So it looks like you're not putting much in the glass. Actually, it's loads.
That sounds perfect.
It is.
I think you are the greatest con man of all time. You're one of the good ones. We know what a good con man is. It's someone with a huge wine glass.
Great. I thought it was an optical illusion. All this time, like, Aggie's holding her glass so close to the camera, but it's just
really
fucking giant.
It's just giant glass,
yeah.
It's a goldfish bowl. Oh, I respect that hugely.
Anyway,
Casanova.
So basically Casanova, he goes back to Venice after being exiled for 18 years because he broke out of their prison and basically he... was allowed back into the city because he did some spying for Venice then.
Oh, he exonerated himself. Fine.
Yeah. And they sort of... Also, they said the officials were like, you can come back in, but you've got to tell us how you escaped from the prison, which I think is quite funny.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so knowing what we know about Casanova, that he is a ladies' man and he's done all of this stuff and also had so many venereal diseases. We've touched on that a little bit earlier.
Syphilis, smallpox.
Like
smallpox?
No, it was rampant.
It was.
Is that a venereal
gonorrhea?
Disease?
Okay, only syphilis, syphilis and gonorrhea are. Smallpox, it's a plague.
I mean, look, I'm up for a challenge, Katie. I'll see where I can get it.
I'm so happy we have vaccines. Fuck you, anyone that doesn't get vaccines.
So, thank you, Katie. So at the age of 73, Casanova dies, which is very, very old for considering...
Italy in the smallpox ages.
Yeah.
With somebody that's a shagger and has probably had syphilis.
I mean, it's astonishing, really. Any ideas on his last words as we bring this story to a close?
I wish I could have come more.
I mean, if they're not, I'm stealing them for myself. Taylor?
I just have no advance on that.
Aggie, Casanova's last words.
Thank God it's all over.
Do you know what? There is something I like about those as last words. It's great. Do you know what? He said...
I had love and it was a guess. I had a dick of Venetian glass.
Yay!
Da, 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 da.
His last words were, I have lived as a philosopher and I die as a Christian.
Oh, for God's sake. Fuck off.
Get off it.
Yeah.
Fucking, you're in a, like, who do you think you are?
Exactly. Tosser.
Yeah. Like, oh, I, like, have witches and stuff. No, I'm a Christian now.
Why is his reputation so overblown?
Why,
or in a way just kind of undersold? Like, okay, he's a shagger, but it's like he was actually like a lost soul in a way.
I mean, decide on his everyone's identity. Got PTSD, but like, yeah, why do we remember him as that's not a hashtag. Why do we remember him as this romantic great lover?
I think it's
when actually he's a piece of shit that just like tricked everyone.
Although that said, I would have dated this guy.
I mean, I think I could have changed him. I think.
Yes. I think this guy wouldn't have dated me. That's how I feel.
You know, it would change me. Another blowjob. And I would have been like, you're right.
And on that note, that brings the end to the story of the Venetian spy Casanova. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers. Drunk women solving crime.
This is from a listener called Katie. And she says, dear drunk women, a friend of mine from uni did his undergrad at Strathclyde in Glasgow.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You know it?
Yes.
So very hungover one Thursday, he went from his flat through an alleyway to the fish and chip shop along the road. As he walked back, two burly Glaswegians stopped him and demanded his phone and wallet. The hungover mess he was had neither. On telling the muggers this, they instead took his fish and chips. Please help us find these men. What happened here?
Just cruel. There's desperation and you need to steal, and then there's just, I'm gonna fuck you over, and that's taking your fish and chips. And we all know that Scotland has the best fish and chips.
It does.
This is the worst crime we've ever had.
And it's not called fish and chips, it's a fish supper. Fish supper.
Oh, yeah.
He stole his fish supper.
A fish supper.
Well, I mean, I do think this is particularly from like a hungover guy as well. That's not fair, is it?
There's a level of cruelty that he was hungover.
It's like a violent prank. Everything's always connected on this podcast. But, and this feels like,
you know, these people were just trying to save face. They wanted to get phones or wallets. They couldn't get them. They were like, well, you have to suffer. Otherwise, we look weak. We're having your fish supper.
Right, yeah. They have to come away with something.
Yeah. They probably didn't even eat them. That's the tragedy. They had a couple of chips and then chucked it. But they were like, ha-ha, he's crying now.
Aggie, you probably know who this is.
Between
the Scottish lineage and the MI6.
To me, actually. Yes.
Yeah. Are you still, I mean, do you still have clearance? Have you still got a log on? We could figure this out right now.
I think
now.
We probably could, but I might have to keep Stum on this. I think I probably know the perpetrators and the victim. So, because there's not that many people in Scotland. So I'd probably have a good old chat with all sides.
Do you know what? I think that's a really nice way to end this podcast. We're going to help the victim.
It's kind of like Aggie's the mafia and just kind of like mediating instead of the police.
Yeah, totally. But you know she'll decapitate any one of us if she has
But
to.
No, because she like, you need her protection and you go to her if you have a problem.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Although, Aggie, what are you having for your tea now? Was it fish and chips?
I have no idea. It's being cooked downstairs. He's not a very good cook.
Aggie, so tell us where people can find you. Can we follow you on Twitter? What are you up to? What's next?
Gosh, yeah. I am on Twitter. The other thing about me is, did you know this, ladies? I teach yoga.
Oh,
nice. I do. And that's the thing that I absolutely love doing. Can I say a million times more than cleaning? Oh, God, I'm so over the cleaning. Jesus. I can give you any cleaning tips you want. I know it all. But, oh, my God, I just love teaching yoga. And I do it every day, and it's really, really nice. So you can, find... Actually, there's also aggiestips.com. I don't know. There's loads of stuff.
Aggie Yoga will find you, right?
Do you know what? I'm absolutely shit at Instagram. My friend keeps saying, get on. And I'm like, oh God, please don't make me. Actually, if you look at Twitter, and if anyone wants to get in touch with me via Twitter, then they can come onto the yoga thing as well. Via that, yeah.
Thank you very much for joining us, Aggie McKenzie.
Yay! Thanks, Aggie.
Thank you.
How solved is your crime?
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman, with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast, and thank you for listening.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.